Welcome to Yoga Life Lessons.
With myself, Debbie.
Me, Chris.
And also sometimes me, Lowell.
In this episode, we delve into the relationship between yoga and spirituality.
Mr. Chris Jackson.
Yes.
There's a question that has been put to us. Well, we were discussing it over the weekend. Do you have to be spiritual to practice yoga, or does yoga make you spiritual?
Well. I think that is a very layered question. Debbie's like, this is supposed to be a 15-minute one, Chris. That does depend on how we define the word spiritual.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think there is a semantic component, because I think people mean different things and people bracket up religiosity and spirituality differently. And so I'll get to that. I think the first thing to say is that actually yoga is in and of itself a secular practice. It's very much intermingled with all sorts of religious, philosophical and spiritual traditions. But you can think of yoga more like a technology for a way of practicing something.
As in a computer program?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
So you could be using yoga practice as a gateway towards your spiritual expression.
Yeah.
But actually, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And so there is a part of yoga where it defines these two goals. One is bodha, and one is moksha. And moksha means sort of spiritual liberation. It is that sense of freedom from mind-created suffering. In Patanjali, it's the point at which the mind is still and you know, you can connect to the truth of it.
Jen just brought our doggy in.
Yeah. And then bodha, bodha means material success or materiality. And so what Tantra says is that those two aren't irreconcilable. You can have spiritual satisfaction, you can have material happiness, and the two things aren't dependent on each other or don't preclude one another. And so certainly you can practice yoga as a way of engaging with your life at whatever level. I think it's interesting then the sort of concepts that begin to be discussed and the way that language changes it from a religious discourse to a personal development discourse to a feeling of wellness. And I think a lot of it is led by the fear that actually, I think there's a lot of really badly presented lay spirituality.
Competition that people see it as.
And the same with science. There is so much crap about it. And the wonderful thing is, if you actually look, well, and I can't say that I do to some degree, but if you get into the depths of either, they're just so beautifully compatible, but on the way up, they seem at such loggerheads. And so it's that perception of them being at loggerheads that's the problem. I think the issue with spirituality is not that people don't want to experience spirituality, because its goals are things like satisfaction, fullness, understanding of the self. You know, these aren't like obeisant gestures. But even the idea of obeisance changes as your practice evolves. It's what people think spirituality is. And I think what people think spirituality is incredibly convoluted by a lot of touting, marketing nonsense, wherein it's become a product or a means to sell a product, and then this is where it gets really complicated.
I have to agree with that. I get that icky feeling as soon as I see anybody.
It's become a dirty word.
It has become a dirty, it's like manifesting, dirty word now. Invest in yourself. Invest this amount in you.
And then when people are like, don't say cost, say invest.
It is the cost, yeah. Of course, people can see it as they wish. But yeah, and it worries me. It gives me great concern that these are now dirty words, and it makes me feel super sad. Obviously, I have practiced yoga for many, many years, longer than I've practiced shamanism. But within that, you know, there's a lineage. There's a master upon a master upon a master that I'm connected to. This isn't an intuitive healing. This isn't me just being, you know, fed information from somewhere and then just being decided that this is what I'm doing. I'm being taught. I'm being guided by actual teachers. And yes, there's the spirit element, and you too get downloads. You get things do come to you. That does happen. But again, that. I had somebody had said to me, Lily, maybe they downloaded Lily to me. But someone said to me, it was after the moon meditation, how do you come up with that? And bearing in mind, I've been doing these for many, many years, to the point where my shaman name is Kia, which means, you know, moon, mother moon. And in Quechua.
Yeah, and you were given by your
I was given. I was
you
given
didn't,
it, yes.
You didn't choose it off
I didn't choose it. I didn't Google it. Yeah. I was and it was given it. It was part of my initiation. It was
and
given.
Was there like years and years of dedicated practice?
It was, yes. Of case studies and work and support and assisting and, you know, everything that I did and working with as much integrity that I possibly could in order
and
to
the name
be
was
allowed.
Given as a reflection of the qualities that you had built and that you emanate,
yes,
as
yes.
opposed to some sort of self-referential claim.
Which... Yes. So I was asked this last week at the moon meditation, you know, do you get this downloaded? Like, how do you get your information? Like, I've really been loving them. And I know there are lots of people who come to my moon meditations and they do go and they run other things, whether it's meditations themselves or whatever. Mm-hmm. They go and run things. And I love that because I feel like I've really... obviously given something that has given them a pathway or something that's opened them up to that option, which makes me feel actually really, really warm inside. However, she asked me, so where do you get, do you have a download? Like, do you have something that tells you? And I was just like, no, it's not. I mean, there's a feeling and there's an energy.
There's definitely a sense of
but also there is just the alignment and the tendencies of particular planets, the tendencies of particular energies within certain things, the seasons, the elements of archetypes. This is what I work with. And she was like, okay, because I thought it had to be downloaded. And I was like, I'm really confused by that terminology.
I think the notion of things being downloaded is often muddied because the notion is that somehow someone is this sort of special antenna for some divine wisdom. And it risks being really hierarchical in and of itself, but it overlooks entirely the notion that actually, like, this is just something that's available. It's like it's there in all of our essence. And it's not about accumulating things. It's about removing the things that are obscuring everyone from being able to speak to that place. Everyone has a capacity and an experience of it, probably. But then a lot of the time, there's muddy water and there's some scum.
Well, yeah, and it's the muddy water that does worry me. And this is why I do not like to use the terminology, because I remember somebody talking about something with me very early when I was training, and they were saying, I've been passed this message from spirit. And they were just factually wrong about an area in the brain. Something, and without going into too much detail, and it was just factually incorrect. Yeah. But this download.
There was a logic to it, but it was.
This is what's been downloaded. And actually, what the medical dictionaries and the medical books have said is wrong. I'm like, so the scanning machines and everything and the chemical balance which comes from that area was they're wrong. You know? And then it worried me because I just thought they were so convinced by their own information that it completely wiped out the actual fact. And it worries me because the more and more people do that and more people that channel this information, then this spreads out. It's like, you know, when you dip food coloring into water and it goes... you know, that kind of blotting paper, and it spreads. It's like that. And these people are so porous. They're so able to absorb this information because you know what? They want to believe it.
Everybody
wants
something.
Exactly. They
They're
want to believe
for
it.
That they consider beyond themselves. And
absolutely.
So when it doesn't make sense, when it's radical, when it's different, they're like, yes. Yeah. And then later down the line, they feel cheated. And
yeah.
I'm not saying that people don't get to the right place the wrong way.
Yeah.
Certainly, there are very meandering routes to where you're going, and there are much more direct routes to the way you're going. Mm-hmm. But either you're following the pull of the ego or you're following the pull of something much deeper.
Yeah.
And unless you've got some way of keeping that in check, it's so hard because your ego is so... Clever, that dog's on the way to the way. She's like,
so is the download ego?
I think that...
Or an element of that.
Maybe.
Mm. Because if you're not holding, if you're in... Because the other thing is as well, it's how you...
Sometimes not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you can access it by opening up a space to do that. But in order to do that, you have to have been issued or given the energy to be able to access the portals. And the portals are given to you by master shamans, by your lineage.
Yeah.
And I know very much what my lineage is, and anybody can ask me, and I will tell them immediately where my teachings have came from.
There are different constructions of
Yeah, and I, you know, we will be with the mountain shamans in Peru in like a year and a bit's time, you know. So that's all wonderful and great for me. So I feel... You know, content in that, but my concern is what people think. So then, when people think, "Oh, should I come to yoga? Does that make me spiritual?"
The thing that's concerned about what people think is the ego too.
Mm.
And so, this is something that's been I've been grappling with a little bit recently.
Mm.
Is the drive for keeping a check on the numbers in some of the classes, and how sneaky even now. There'll be like these little just glimmers of glee when one of my classes happens to be the most waitlisted that week.
Right.
And I'm just like, and then the part of me that's like, well, I don't want to check the numbers because it's my ego that wants to check the numbers. And then actually I'm like, well, no, there's a responsible part of me that needs to keep an eye on these things and make sure I'm addressing things.
I never do.
It's so, I know. And you know, most of the time it's fine. I'm like, well, there's the weather, there's this, there's a bank holiday coming up. I'm like, okay, so like what actually needs attention and what actually doesn't need attention, what needs to be dropped. Mm. And, you know... Unless you're prepared for the eventuality that it's just constantly there, it will absolutely rule the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't check. You know, I
wasn't accusing you of having
No. And no, but on the opposite way, I worry that I'm not as attentive, and by not checking, am I telling spirit or telling the universe that I'm not concerned, and just doesn't matter. But you know, they're always well attended and wonderful. But I think the key point here, though, is that we have a sensationally, wonderfully dedicated community that isn't just here for one person. They're not just here for two people. They're here for the entire vibe. They're here for everybody. And there's nobody at all is here for just one person.
Yeah.
They come to the collectives. You know, and it's just beautiful because it just makes me think that the energies that we have chosen or have came together here just blend so beautifully that everybody knows everybody's classes and know they need to go for Evie for this, they'll go to Jeannie for that, they'll go to Emma for the other, they'll go to Eileen for one. Sorry, but also Grace. I mean, Grace for me, on you know, people will come to me and say,
"It was a wonderful..."
The warmth.
Collective.
Yeah, the warmth that comes. And if you're feeling that you just need support, you go to a particular class. Great. And Afnan has started teaching, and now Afnan has such that energy as well that now people are like, oh, they're getting really cuddled in by that energy.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure I haven't forgotten any of the teachers.
No.
Richard, Bailey, Victoria, who's the new teacher as well as any other teachers that I've forgotten.
Yeah, we shouldn't have started listing so many names.
I know. But every single teacher, I'm sorry if I haven't mentioned any. And all of the teachers from the past and the future, they've all been so relevant and so wonderful for the time.
And they appreciate the role that the space plays and that the front of house plays.
Yeah.
Because, and actually just the role that the other people play. Like there is a collective tapping into a nurturing of a singular thing. And I love saying it. There is something deeply shared and yet entirely individual happening on every one of those mats.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderfully supportive space.
And I guess that leads me to saying, therefore, for me, the spirituality is the community.
It occurs through the cultivation of an open heart.
Yeah.
Which is what all spiritual teachings, more or less, nestle into, this idea that there is this opening. And so then the question that is bugging me at the moment, because there is a proliferation of stuff. And it's hard, you know, it's hard.
Oh, don't be bugged by it.
to myth bust.
I'm never going to do that.
It's an idea of orienting.
We're not the first people to have ever discussed this. And I imagine this has been going on for decades. Yes. Yeah. But you know what? I think it's becoming a wider thing now. I think that more people are wanting to be a yoga teacher, more people are, you know, getting this intuitive download, and a lot of people are doing intuitive healing, which really confuses me somewhat.
Yeah, I know. Well, in Tantra, they talk about the upayas, which are the different means to liberation.
Right.
And it basically starts super, super concrete. It more or less says most people need to start here.
Yeah.
And right at the very top, there is this sort of direct realization. And I think it says it's something like one in a millennium. We'll literally just be sort of struck by lightning and everything is there.
Mm.
And so it's such a rarity. But when you talk about direct realization paths, people think, oh, that thing must, you know, be it. They think they're better than they are because they don't know yet all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not actively or orienting themselves to all of the other things, then they'll never know. But the question for me becomes, if my goal as a as an exponent of this is to work out how I can harness my own practice and open myself such that I can meet someone where they are and share with them the capacity for transformation that I have experienced and I'm still experiencing, then how do I let that process be wide enough that it encompasses all of those things too?
I think there's nothing teaches you how to at least get closer to that than having a child in school with other children and negotiating like the social alignments, how the child responds, and understanding them as such an innocent portal of how communication happens and how the expectation, and I think we both experience this, is the expectation of how it's now just a given that you have to be happy. Everything, if you're not happy,
the notion that it's actually attainable is out there, which is tricky because it is in transient ways. It is in transient ways. And I mean, Laura's had been having a bit of a tough time, hasn't he? He's not quite sure where it all fits together.
He's six,
We've had a real breakthrough with him recently, and we had a breakthrough because we listened to the things that we drum into people all the time, which is that you need to teach the positive. You can't tell people what not to do and hope that it will go well. And his teachers were like, we don't know what's happened, but he's transformed. And actually what we did was we stopped giving airtime to the things that were difficult because we realized that in attempting to express our caring, we'd created this loop of attention.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk this out.
He just wasn't capable of
And I realize this in some of the healings that I do, some of the shaman counseling sessions, and that I sit and I listen to all of the problems and everything they need to offload. And then I realize I wasn't saying to them, tell me what joy you've had this week. Tell me what goodness has came to you. And when you do that, it just turns around.
Well, it certainly begins to.
With the clients, like the energy turns as soon as you see their chest, like, well, this happened and that happened. Yeah. And then it's just actually thinking, let's use that with our child.
Because there's just more to it. You're like, well, you're human, and actually this is where the attention needs to be, because that's what we want to grow.
Because we always tell people to have their gratitude journal in the morning, on their evening time, and yada, yada, yada. And now Lol has one.
He does three things every day that were good, and one thing that
he wants
would
to improve.
Make his day better.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a good practice for everyone.
Now that is connecting to spirit. Not spirituality, but connecting to spirit.